Wow, what a great crowd,
That's a
huh?
crew in an
I
after
know, from the
snowstorm,
amped
everything.
success man yourself. These people are amped to be successful or become successful or continue to be successful, which is always my challenge, which is where I want to start, Matt. You know, a lot of people are good at creating, and a lot of the neighborhood of what I've learned by being a partner with the greatest business tour on earth is the ability to maintain and grow success. And it's not just money. You got to have the mindset, the heart set, and the handset, just like Robert and Andrew were talking about before us. What do you think the greatest challenge is? You buy and sell so many businesses, you know deal flow, you have created so much in your career, but what is the biggest challenge to people maintaining and growing success?
That's a great question.
You told me to come with the easy ones.
I know. I'm glad you started with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I've watched lots of people build a phenomenal business and then go to sell it and then end up, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what's next. They lose their purpose. They lose their vision. They lose their mission. And it's so when you talk about maintaining it, I think it's an element of making sure there's something in your life that you're excited about on the other side of all of these steps. And, you know, I know you've had lots of them as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember Dr. Connolly, who created Metrex, and Troy Aikman was our client, who was his spokesperson, sold it way back when for $105 million, which was literally the catalyst for the destruction of his entire existence. So there's three parts to what you do. It's preparing for exit, which includes a lot more than you would imagine than just preparing economically the financial statements. And then there's the actual exit, and then there's post-exit.
Post-exit.
And you help people with all three, which is why I love partnering with you and promoting an amped success philosophy and your podcast as well, bringing people on. A lot of people here are in the stage of preparing for exit. What are some of the common things that we should be doing structure-wise, employee-wise, capability-wise, especially with AI, to prepare for a multitude of success in the exit?
Well, I think of businesses like a recipe, right? There's a formula for getting a result. And so when somebody's buying your business, they're buying your recipe. And so if you think about any recipe, if you walked into a kitchen and you tried to make something without a recipe, you're lost, right? You can have a whole lot of trial and error. The benefit of buying businesses is that there's a recipe intact. And so from a preparing for exit standpoint, if you're marketing your business or planning on marketing your business for sale, the more you prepare it to be viewed, to be analyzed, to be scrutinized, to be observed, those are all the things that people can do to prepare for exit. And, you know, you can get into the weeds with that as you know, financially, how do your financials look? What's the 3 to 5 year trend? Are they clean? A lot of Main Street businesses, like Andrew talks so much about, you know, they try to get to zero every year. That makes it really tough to exit for a number that can be meaningful and life altering. And that's really the desire for
Yeah,
most people in
and
business now.
working part of this neighborhood with people like Andrew and understanding the strategy that Robert Kiyosaki gave us in his brilliant books and still provides in his brilliance, which I call genius, the expression of God. There are certain structures and strategies that allow you to have a higher valuation and to reach out and ask for help from people like you and Drew and Robert that have paid the dummy tax, which is, you know, made my career. I thought people would be most admired the successes I had. Literally, people hired me just to know what dummy tax I paid, you know, and I paid over $100 million of it. So people would like to save all that.
So you get the degree
It's
and
so good. Beyond the systems, the structure, and the strategy that the guys here, real estate is a big component that people ignore when they're exiting their business. You know, Robert, I know, and Drew are always telling me, especially with the tax laws, if you're not familiar with them today, you need assets. 100, 150% depreciation on assets in the exit of a business. You think your revenue is a valuable component, your real estate's even more valuable a lot of times than the product, services, and solutions that you have. Why people want your business, and expand on that. How important is the real estate to tax side of preparing for exit?
Well, it's a whole nother level. So of course, if a lot of the businesses I help people with, they don't own their real estate, and that's okay. It doesn't prevent us from getting the deal done. But when the real estate is owned, as long as you're owning the business, you're paying off your piece of real estate at the same time. And then when you exit, you can either sell the real estate, which is super attractive to buyers and lenders, or you can just hold it and become the landlord for the business with the tenant that, you know, the business that you ran. And so that becomes desirable as well. Not critical, but certainly beneficial.
And the reason there's so much action in buying and selling of businesses is, to me, not only is America based on entrepreneurship and buying and building businesses, but there's never been a greater opportunity to make money by buying or selling businesses. And the reason is, number one, baby boomers, mm-hmm. right? The great transformation of money that's going to occur. There's businesses that are 50 to 100 years old that are underutilized and underperforming, and with the right owner could double or triple overnight because they haven't instituted POSs or different softwares and platforms, let alone use AI to increase the profitability of the business. Do you see that trend continuing where there's huge opportunity finding businesses that are solid word of mouth businesses that have never marketed and have never used technology even to assist them?
Yeah, so there's a lot there. So for my career, 28 years, there's always been more buyers than inventory. And it seems like that could shift now with the baby boomers retiring. But what's fascinating is I continue to hear about people who literally are just closing their businesses. And if you, instead of selling them, and whether they're just not aware that that's an opportunity or I'm not sure, but if you think about it, it would be like deciding you're going to move out of your home and just deciding to bulldoze it or set it on fire. Or, I mean, you just, this is a valuable income producing asset that people just a lot of times decide it's easier to walk away, or they're intimidated by the process. But for most of the people I talk to, their business is one of the most significant assets they own. And if they capitalize on it, it can be life-altering exit.
One of the philosophies and strategies that I believe in, not everybody, you know, mm-hmm. Ramsey doesn't, but I know Andrew and Robert do, is leveraging and debt. Mm-hmm. I think it's a gift of America to be able to leverage assets and businesses. If anybody's not familiar, for example, what the SBA is doing today for people buying businesses, it's almost, if not better than real estate to do so. But a lot of times there's some inherent value in businesses, especially that baby boomers that have had 50, 60-year-old businesses don't realize. I bought a business the other day that had a line of credit that I literally leveraged the business to buy it on its own line of credit. Mm-hmm. Right? I just utilized the closing date, got the property, and made the payment off of their line of credit. Mm-hmm. And then extended the line of credit because they hadn't done it. They had the revenue to justify moving the line of credit up. How important is it to use someone like you? Because all that goes missed if you don't have the situation. How many businesses have you bought and sold just in the last 3 years?
I don't know the count, I'm afraid.
Way too many. You know,
800
right?
in my career, and I'm in the process of buying two personally right now. And
yeah. Yeah. So the fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. And all these little subtleties mm-hmm. could make a huge difference forever in your life's mission.
Well, and back to your point. So about 70% of the transactions I help people purchase, businesses I help people purchase, are financed through Small Business Administration loans. So most people, when they hear Small Business Administration, turn the other way or they think it's horrible. The reality is it's just a process. And when you know how to play that game, our success rate of getting people financed is very high because we're asking for financing for an income producing asset. And back to your point about debt, buying a business with debt is an income, it's income producing debt as opposed to consumer debt. We're not buying boats and RVs and things that are the opposite. So I look at it very similar to buying a piece of real estate using debt. You know, that's very common these days. But for some reason, when it comes to business acquisitions, people get intimidated by the idea that they shouldn't use debt to their advantage. And the reality is it's very powerful.
One of the areas that we work closely together is understanding to work on the business, not in the business. So savvy buyers are wary when the business is about the owner.
They sure are.
It's their biggest concern. It'll devalue the business probably worse than anything else if they don't feel like they can step in and do the same job.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the things that you do to help prepare for an owner to work on the business instead of in their business?
Well, it's really as simple as if you're in business, how many business owners are here? Can I see the hands again?
Everybody.
Everybody.
How many want to be in business?
Yeah. Or aspiring.
Who wants to make a lot of money? Raise your hand. All right.
Yeah, very good.
You're my kind of people.
Yeah.
As long as you do it for good.
So the bottleneck is real. And most of us in business know what it's like. We start out small, or even if we start out large, at some point we become the bottleneck to growth and increases in all forms. And so one of the things, if somebody comes to me and they're, a lot of times they'll brag about it. They'll say, listen, I'm ready to sell my business. It's okay. How many employees do you have? How many key employees do you have? What's your management team? Like, it's all up here. The whole, I got it all right. And you know, that's not what buyers want to hear. They want this formula, not in the previous owner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
They want it spread out and ideally over enough staff to be, to have cross-training and some opportunities that you can have a hiccup or somebody quits or something and the whole thing doesn't come crumbling down. So being the way to get to the other side of that, very simple. If you sit down and you look at what you do in your business every day of the week and you write them down, and you slowly and carefully just start thinking about who else could do this. Is it somebody on my team? Do I need to expand my team to get somebody else who can do this? Do I hire it out? Do I sub it out? Is there... So the more you can take off of your plate as the business owner, it makes your business more valuable, but it also makes it more desirable. And for running it day in and day out, you'll like it better. And the truth is, David, for me, I have an ownership right now, active ownership in over 20 businesses. I'm constantly having to look at, okay, where have I become the bottleneck?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I working in it instead of on it? And I have to keep reminding myself because I'm grassroots, right? I started out at 17 and just used to working. It's a process.
And you mentioned that word process, and I'm glad you did, because one of the biggest bottlenecks are owners that are in love with the product, the service, the solution, or the business. And in every stage, if they're in love with the product, service, solution, or business, the preparation for exit, the exit, and especially the post-exit
mm-hmm.
are going to be extremely challenging, and they will be the bottleneck. How do we get people, and this is a story of life, right? If we can fall in love with what we don't like or love about what we love, in other words, love the process instead of loving the product, service, or solution, or the company, that bottleneck will cost more than anything else in each of these three stages.
I think it's a answer that speaks to who you are in your heart. You know, it's like, what's on the other side and what is this all about? And if a business owner is willing to step back from their business long enough to look at, okay, it's a part of my life. It's not my entire life,
mm-hmm.
right? And what's on the other side of this? Well, honestly, that's one of the first steps to getting ready to exit. And also helps to build in the processes, because then you're working on something. You're not just working in it every day of the week in the grind. And I've had clients who I literally just watched them destroy deals. We've got qualified buyers. They're ready to go. And the seller is not emotionally ready. And I think that's a matter of being pulled towards something as opposed to trying to push your business to be gone or to exit. So the pull is really where it's at.
One of the reasons I like doing business with you, and I know everyone here in this neighborhood likes to do business with you, is I'm very wary when people own 20 or more businesses, and in our conversations, it's, well, I'll be happy when I exit this, or I'll be happy when this happens, the revenue goes to this, or I'll be happy when. One of the taglines for Aspire that I think is applicable to your philosophy and mindset is you're always saying, for the sake of what am I doing this?
Mm.
You know, for the sake of my family, my community, my country, or maybe it's for humanity. And I've seen you do business for the sake of all those different things, your family, your community, your country, the world and humanity. Can you attach to an outcome? Is Are there successful businesses where they're just focused solely on the outcome? Or do you think they need that for the sake of what am I doing this to truly be successful, to amplify it as your business indicates?
You know, it's a deep question, I think.
And it's another easy one.
It's another easy one, yeah. So for me, I've gone through the cycles where when I started out at 17, I was in business because I was running from my past. I mean, I wanted independence and I was going to create my own story.
I wanted a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And all that did was show my true anatomy to every girl I dated before she went out with me. It was awful.
That's a powerful story.
I'm across my legs. People are starting to stare at me in a weird place. Don't worry. Dead birds don't fall out of its nest. Have I gone too far? Are they going to kick me off the Aspire stage now? I'm up next speaking. I doubt they're going to have me. Yeah. Shit. Go ahead.
Well, so back to the story. Yeah. So anyway, I pushed and pushed and ground, and I got to the place where literally I'm setting goals, putting them on my wall and all, and I couldn't reach them. I was pushing so hard for the wrong reasons. And then, you know, as life will do, and I know by your belief in mine, the good Lord either tapped me on the shoulder to wake me up or gave me the knockout punch if I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And I started to get much more in alignment for why am I doing what I'm doing. And so it is something I ask myself all the time. And why do I have the businesses I have? And if they're with people that I don't enjoy, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to do it. If it's with people that are great people that I trust and love and care about and vice versa, then we're having fun in business. And that's what it's about for me at this point. And I'm also very careful because I've been there where I don't want to risk my family for it. You know, my family's number one, and this is a huge part of who I am, wanting to climb mountains and try to reach new peaks. And without my family, none of it's worth any of it.
And you know, I believe in that as well. And mm-hmm. I'm a faith-based leader. One of the few people on stages that will talk about your faith, not mine, but something bigger than us that protects us, promotes us. But a lot of times in business, there's no evidence, you know, that we're being protected, promoted. It takes a lapse of time to figure out the solution. That's why they call it a resolution, a resolution. Mm-hmm. Patience then is tied into faith. Patience, even with the time and attention that we give our families. I think one of the biggest lies entrepreneurs tell themselves, I'm doing this for my family. And I always say, so you're not sleeping, one of the most detrimental things to success for your family. You're not working out, eating right, drinking, breathing right for your family. You're making all this money, but to the detriment of spending time mm-hmm. with your family. How important is it to reverse engineer how money's actually made? I mean, this is what your podcast is about, mm-hmm. that you're actually better off sleeping because you recover and access awareness and information by sleeping. You're better off working out and spending time with your family than you are focusing in on EBITDA.
You know, it's just the topic is so important to me because it's real for me. And so I went through a period of time where I believed, you know, 3-4 hours a day is plenty of sleep, and that I made up for it. So I'd wake up at 2-3 in the morning, work, get up with my son, you know, my kids when they were younger, and my son now who's 12, and get them ready for school and so on and so forth. But what I found was once I really realized how damaging it was to use sleep as the last resource and didn't need much of it, it became a huge problem in my life. And I realized how disconnected I was, even though I was making the time to be with my family. The reality was I was not as good of an employer. I was not as good of a teammate. I was not as good of a husband or a father, or because I wasn't present. And so it was a hard lesson for me to learn. And it's not that long ago I learned that. I just used to, that was the first thing I would give up was the sleep to get done what I wanted to get done. It's very costly.
For me, there was a huge wake-up call. Mm. It was a surprising one to come home wasted at 5:30 in the morning in 2006 to my dream girl since the fourth grade to tell me she was leaving me because she thought I was going to end up dead. I had 3 daughters under 10. One works for me now.
Yeah.
But it was a wake-up call because I was in a destiny of death and destruction, and I had everything everybody else wanted, and I never felt so empty. I think in this cyclical nature of buying and selling businesses, we can feel empty very easily, no matter how much money we make.
For sure. And I guess that's the point here. You know, we're talking about buying and selling businesses and preparing for exit. And one of the things I've learned is that most people that don't own a business, their dream is to become self-employed and own a business. And a lot of the people who own businesses don't want to own them anymore. And it, you know,
raise your hand.
And that keeps me very busy, which is wonderful.
If you're not a masochist, use your hands to be raised.
But I guess the direction that our conversation has gone to, which I appreciate so much, is the why. Why do you want to own a business? What's it about? And why do you want to sell your business? What's that about? I've got several stories where I've sold the same business several times back to the person I sold it for. So what's that about? You know,
yeah.
So they decided an exit would bring them everything they wanted. They sold it, did something else, and then realized that what they really wanted to do was what they were doing before. And they bought it back through me several times. And so it's a fascinating cycle. Good business.
Yeah.
Yeah, great business. But I guess the point being why. So if you're out there today trying to figure out you want to buy a business, you want to sell your business, what is it about? And getting clear on that, I think, is the first step to preparing for exit or to prepare to buy a business.
Now, you've been integrated into the Aspire community as well. Mm-hmm. Real estate, tax, all. I mean, there's just like them, the 50 businesses that I'm involved with because I surround myself with the right people and the right ideas.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm leaving here for Super Bowl early so I can launch my book, Don't Do Business with Dicks.
It's a great title. Yeah.
I just have to tell you things.
It's funny that
compassionate capitalism did not sell off the shelves or connected to goodness, unstoppable, creating the life you love. So I decided to write a book like that, but just put a title on it that everybody in the world. And at the launch party, we're just putting a big sign. Dan Fleischman told me this one, no dicks allowed, just to get it out there. But it's a really good piece of advice. Have you gone through that cycle of being very careful about your neighborhood, who you surround yourself with, and if the values aren't aligned, at what stage you determine, you know what, I don't want to be involved in your business buying or selling it because you're a dick?
Yeah, well, you know, back to what I said, I generally don't use that term with them.
Yeah, but, I usually don't either. But I just got to tell you, I've sold so many effing books from that word.
Well, I might start.
Yeah, it sells, man.
But
my wife cringes every time she hears it. But
yeah, so Eddie and I was on Eddie's podcast not too long ago, and he talked about one of the worst deals I had, and the deal that I walked away from. It was a business that I was buying with a group, and it was because of I just didn't share the same values. Let's put it that way. I won't go as far as to say he was a dick, but I will say we didn't
share
the same
values. Your values were misaligned.
All right,
you're so polite. I like that.
So it was time to move on, and it was just a whole lot easier to do it then than to get into business and just be embroiled in all of that. And you mentioned Aspire. You know, it was at this point 16 months ago, I was right about there sitting in this audience, just like everybody here, listening to Aspire for the first time. And then I connected with Andrew, and then I connected with Eddie, and the team that they have is truly extraordinary.
Yeah, and they're the right people, the right frequency. That's what I'll be talking about after this is, you know your frequency, your essence, your neighborhood that you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, there's big names on this tour with us, mm-hmm. and we're blessed to be around those people.
Absolutely.
But I get to be around the world with a lot of the same people. And, you know, I'll take like Kevin Costner. You know, we were at Fanatics Fest together, and he's like, oh, what a waste of time. Like, not really the vibe, you know, and then we were at Aspire the next day and he's like, oh, this is more like it. Robert's backstage thanking me somehow for giving him the, I'm like, are you kidding, man? This guy's a legend. And he's thanking Aspire and thanking me. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just cheering for him. So it is this frequency. Now, a lot of people don't talk about frequency or awareness or vibration. I know you understand frequency. How important is it to be aware more than strategic or intelligent about decision-making when you're buying and selling a business?
Well, for me, and again, the reason I continue to say for me, I mean, there, you know, there's
says, yeah, that, they're them and you're you.
Yeah, you know.
I always say your religion, your beliefs, and his. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, for me, it's just, it's paramount. I mean, at the end of the day, what's it all worth, right? None of us know when our last day is. And so if the frequency of what we're doing every day isn't filling us up and in alignment with what we want, it's not worth it. It's not worth being miserable, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So when I find I'm starting to get there, or if something's making me miserable, I'm going to work to correct it. And if I can't, I'm out, because it's life's too valuable. And our time and energy is a resource we only have so much of, and it's the only resource we all have the same amount of. And so it's worth being monitored.
And as we kind of finish up, Robert last night and today was talking about how important a mission is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very clear on my mission. It terrified me. You know, I had a calling. I'm not a person who believed in callings. And when I had it, I didn't know what to do with it. I'd had previous ones and just denied it. And so when my calling to help people in a mission to empower over a billion people to be happy by giving them the skills, the capabilities of making a lot of money for the sake of helping others and enjoying it, having fun, my whole life changed.
Mm.
I am chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, and my mission is to use the amazing philosophies, theories that Napoleon Hill gave us in the 1930s to keep them alive today. Are you clear on your mission?
Yeah, well, actually, my mission is what brings me here. So every week I get calls from either people who bought businesses who are failing, losing their homes, filing bankruptcy, because in my opinion, they didn't have enough knowledge when they went into that very significant transaction. And then I'm also, you know, I deal with sellers of businesses who are at a place where either they're selling for the wrong reason or they're just trying to move towards something exciting. And so what brings me here is my mission is to work with people beyond a one-on-one transaction, where I can try to help educate people in this world that's really fairly new from a standpoint of buying and selling businesses compared to real estate investing and others. And it's the kind of thing that can make your dreams come true, buying a business or selling a business, or it can be your worst nightmare. And so that is my mission, is to spread the word and everywhere I can to help people get what they're after as opposed to what they're not.
I love this guy. He's true to his mission. He enjoys that consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of that potential, that mission. God bless you, Matt Uhlner. We appreciate you.